Good morning. We're glad that you're with us. I want to extend a very special and warm welcome to everyone on this late winter morning, but also a very special welcome to anyone who's worshiping with us for the first time. We're glad that you're here, and we hope that you will find this place a very welcoming space and a place that you will decide to come and worship with us in days and weeks to come. For some reason, whenever this step is here, I feel really tall in this pulpit. Do I look really tall in this pulpit? There are so many ministry opportunities that are highlighted in your bulletin insert, and we'd invite you to take this with you and just to prayerfully consider ways in which God might be calling you to get involved here at MIPC and beyond. A few that we would like to highlight for you this morning is from the very get-go, the very start, we just want to say we know there have been a lot of messages of stewardship in the past couple of months coming from this church and us as a community and probably a lot of other avenues of your life, but we just want to say thank you. Thank you for the good news that balanced budget was able to be presented to the session this past week, which they approved, and it was due to your generosity in this season of a very tough economy. We just want to say from the finance committee, from the stewardship committee, from the session of the church, just a very heartfelt thank you, and we are excited to move forward through this season together with confidence and faith that God will give us what we need to do ministry and mission together. But again, we thank you. This next Wednesday here at the church, there's something going on in the morning and something in the evening. The morning is Super 60s, our monthly program for anyone who is interested, but you may look at it and think, gosh, do I have to be 60 and over to come to that? Well, it is targeted towards those members in our congregation that is appropriate for, but really anyone is invited. So we hope that you might join us. Our program for this Wednesday is Kelly Brown and Mark Anderson, who are a part of the Crescendo concert this past Friday night. Kelly is a very familiar face to many of you. She has been a minister with and among you, and so we look forward to that time together. Everyone's invited. $5 provides a lunch. The program, the fellowship, so we hope that you will join us. And again, that's this Wednesday at 10:30 a.m. Next Sunday is our annual congregational meeting at 11:45 right here in the sanctuary. Just lots of business to go over as in the life of the church, but we hope that you will all join us. And there are annual reports available right after this morning's worship service as you exit if you are someone who wants to be able to review this detail in preparation for next week's meeting. If you are a member, we especially ask that you come. We do need everyone's voice, and everyone's voice is valued and matters for that business meeting together. So thank you, and we hope to see you then. Got lots of visual aids here this morning. Coming up on Saturday, March the 7th, is our annual student ministries auction. Catalogs are available this morning, so you may want to get a head start. The event isn't for 2 weeks, but the catalogs, and you can get your registration number as you exit this morning's worship service. Lots of good stuff. We hope that you'll set aside Saturday, March the 7th, to join us for the auction that all the monies and the proceeds benefit our ministries to students and their families and the mission that they do. So grab your catalog on the way out this morning. The Lenten season begins this week. There aren't any notices in your bulletin of that, so we want to make sure that you, we call attention to that. But this Wednesday, so morning is Super 60s, evening is an Ash Wednesday service. And we all know that Lent is a season of reflection and preparation to move into the realities of Holy Week and the celebration of Easter together. And so we would like to invite everybody to join us this Wednesday night at 6:30 p.m. for an Ash Wednesday service, which is appropriate for people of all ages. So we hope you'll be here to start this Lenten season together. Again, we're so glad that you're with us this morning, and we hope that you will extend a very special welcome, warm welcome to one another after this morning's worship service, and that God would meet us in this place. And now, let us prepare our hearts for worship with our gathering music by our children's Sunday school ringers this morning.
Thank you. Listen for the voice of God. But do not be surprised if God's peace comes in the form of judgment. Do not expect God to whitewash the truth. That glory may dwell in our land. God's glory is found in compassion and works of justice. Listen for the voice of God. O God, your kingdom is forever, and we praise you this day. Open us to your presence. Open our hearts to your unexpected, saving, life-saving word. Open our minds to encounter your faithful wisdom. Renew our spirits to follow your call. Receive now our offering of presence and of praise as we worship you, O Christ, our Savior and our Lord. Amen. Please be seated.
Our gospel reading this morning is from Matthew, chapter 25, verses 31 through 45, which can be found on page 29 in the New Testament section in the Bibles in the pews. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep on his right hand and the goats at the left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, "Come, you are blessed by my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me." Then the righteous will answer, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me." Then he will say to those at his left hand, "You are accursed. Depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not give me clothing. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me." Then they will also answer, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you?" Then he will answer them, "Truly, I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." This is the end of the reading. Thank you, Lord, for these words.
And now join with me in the responsive call to confession. The proof of God's amazing love is this: while we were sinners, Christ died for us. In humility and faith, let us pray together the unison prayer of confession. Righteous God, we live in a world where human life is exploited and abused. Violence is taken lightly, and people are often viewed as objects. Images of hunger and war and murder flash before us until we become nearly hardened. If we have taken on these values of the world, forgive us. Soften our hardened hearts and give us courage to challenge the wrongs we see through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now let us offer up our silent confessions to the Lord. Amen. The good news is that we depend not on ourselves, but on the grace of Christ and the Spirit of God to give us the hope of a new beginning. In Jesus Christ, God knows and receives us as we are. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Christ has sent his peace into the world. Let us share that same peace with one another. The peace of Christ be with you always. Please greet each other with the peace of Christ.
We encourage you to continue sharing the peace and greeting one another after worship this morning. It's a wonderful part of our service. We come now to our time of our sharing of our joys and concerns, and I invite you to find that red friendship pad that was on the pew somewhere when you arrived, and take that and sign your name, and then pass it on down the row. We love it when you sign in to remind us that you were here in worship. It helps us in our ministry of pastoral care to know that you were here. And then also in the pews, you'll find congregational care cards. We invite you to use those cards to write out any prayer requests that you would prefer not to speak out in this time of sharing. You may also mark confidential on that card, and if you do, your prayer request will be prayed by our staff in our Tuesday morning staff meetings when we lift up all of your joys and concerns, but you will not find that confidential prayer request on the written list that appears in the bulletin each week. We do encourage you to take that list home with you and use it as a prayer guide during the week so that you can participate and strengthen our ministry of prayer here at the church. We will come out to you with the microphones, and we'll start with our joys. If you have a joy, please raise your hand, and we ask that you would stand and share your name and your joy. Who has a joy to share this morning?
Hi, I'm Diane Taylor, and I have a couple of joys, and my first one is my mother is 78 today, and she's here. And she is in such great health. I'm very thankful for that. And she takes really good care of my dad, who is 86 last month. My second joy is for the youth ministers that we have in this church. Alan Waite, in particular, was really helpful to our family a couple weeks ago. Sorry, my son was in a serious accident. He's totally fine. He's totally great. But Alan was there with us the whole time, and he's wonderful.
Diane, thank you for sharing. We welcome your mom and dad here. We're so glad that you're here in worship with us. And thank you for the joy that Zach is healed and is well, and also that we can celebrate our youth ministers, and Alan in particular, who I know is so special to you and to your family in this time. They're very gifted, our youth staff, and we thank God for all of them. Other joys to share. Joy is a joy.
I'm Joy Brown, and many of you for the last 2 years have been praying for my sister, Mary, who has cancer. She finished her second round of chemotherapy in December, and her CAT scan last week was stable, so I thank God for stable CAT scans.
Amen. We rejoice with you and with your sister. Georgia, right behind you there. Oh, you can.
This is a real joy to say that my friend Melanie Saxon died on Monday last week. Some of the people here who have served at the care center met Melanie over her years of being in and out of the care center, and her life, she was ready, and we know that she is well with the Lord. Her death was as amazing as her life was. She died surrounded by a community of friends who were singing psalms and singing her on to the next place. Melanie had lived 40 years with a series of aneurysms sort of nipping away at her, and never ever lost her humor or her deep faith. She had, you know, when we're this Bible reading today, she had a way of drawing people to her that she needed, but also then ministering to them. And I was one of the people she collected along the way, and she was just a joy as a friend. And I am so thankful that her suffering is over and she's on being busy somewhere else.
Georgia, was it Melody or
Melanie?
Obviously, a woman who loved the Lord, and I've heard of her through others, and so she had great impact on many lives. We give thanks to God for her life.
I'm Roger Shanafelt, and on Tuesday, Ben celebrated his 12th birthday, so happy.
Oh, that's a big one. Happy birthday to you. We thank God for your birth. 12.
I'm Lindsay Harrison. As our gospel reading was read this morning, I was reflecting on what a profound joy it is to be part of God's people of compassion. This past weekend, I had the privilege of taking down 30 students and 8 adults to serve the homeless down in Portland with a ministry called Bridgetown Ministries, and to watch the profound impact that had on our students, who some were encountering homelessness for the first time and building relationships with the people that they met down there. I was so proud of our students and the way I saw God's transformation working in their lives as they were able to be part of God's compassion and love for the people of Portland. Thank you for your prayers and your support of our youth ministry.
Thank you for that witness to what God is doing in their lives and also in the lives of those they helped on the weekend. How about prayer requests? Any concerns on your heart? And I would just say that we gave thanks to God for the life of Charlie Schaefer yesterday. It was a beautiful service. The beautiful flowers out there are a reminder of that. And we just pray for continued comfort for his family as they grieve his loss.
Right here?
Yeah.
I'm Marcia Williams, and last Saturday we celebrated Bob Murphy's life in Vermont with a gathering of people from all over the country, some from this church, and it was a wonderful celebration. And I thank the pastoral staff for their prayers, which started, I think, when we first told you, around August or September, and they've been praying faithfully for Bob and his health. Yesterday I learned that my sister's husband died in his sleep while on vacation, so I asked prayers for my sister Anne, and who lost her dear, dear husband Roger. Roger had been a victim of lymphoma about 15 years ago, and 5 years ago, or six or so, he received a heart transplant, so he was a 6-year heart transplant survivor until Friday night.
Thank you for the reminder of Bob's passing and of his service. Many, I know others from the church went back for that service as well. And we're sorry to hear of your sister's and your whole family's loss in Roger's death. We pray God's spirit of comfort will be near to you. Yes.
Hi, my name is Susan Taylor Newell. This is my sister, Joyce Taylor Wood. We ask for prayers for our father, who lost his wife of 57 years a month ago, and then last Sunday suffered serious injuries in an automobile accident. He broke his sternum breastbone, and which can't be splinted, so he faces a long recovery, but expected recovery. We also ask for prayers for my sister's husband, Ty Wood, who's also suffered injuries in the accident, although not as serious as my father's.
We are so sorry that this has happened to you, and especially in this time when you're so the grieving of your mom is so close. And so we lift up Ray, that his injuries would heal quickly, and also for Joyce, your husband. Yes. Hi.
I ask prayer for my friend Angelica, who's been diagnosed with a brain tumor, and this is the second one she has.
And what's her name again?
Angelica.
Angelica. We ask for God's healing hand upon Angelica as she battles this brain tumor.
Thank you.
Sorry, Pyle. Yes.
Is it on?
Yes.
My name is Tom Craig, and
I'd like prayers for my wife and her family. My wife's father died Friday afternoon, and some of you may know him, Dr. Paul Kundal. Anyway, in many ways, it was a joy, but for us, a sadness. So thank you.
We're sorry for your loss, Tom. We lift up your whole family in this time of sorrow.
Hi, my name is Angela Miksovsky, and I'd like prayers for my father, Kenneth Chen. He has scoliosis, and he's 70. He recently had a very painful episode that made him pass out. So prayers for him that the pain is subsiding, but that God will continue to heal that, and that this is the second painful episode that he's had, and so that another one won't happen. And also prayers for my mother, Emun, because she was very frightened.
Yeah.
So prayers for his fear and anxiety.
We lift up your dad and pray that this incident won't happen again, but also that the doctor would have wisdom to know how to manage his condition, and prayers for your mom, who was very frightened. Yes. Sorry.
Sue Alexander. I'd like prayers for my brother, who is suffering from complications of diabetes, and also for his wife, who has just been amazing caring for him, but she has trouble doing it all. My brother's personality has started to change, and she's having trouble dealing with that, as we all would. So just prayers for both of them.
Yeah, continued prayers for your brother as he battles that disease, and for for his wife. There's a theme. It's hard for the caregivers, the ones caring for the ones that we love too. So we lift all those who are in that situation up to God.
I'd just like to lift, again, I lifted at the 8:15. I'm Kelly Brown, and I would like to lift up Roberta Harrison and her family as we mourn the loss of Tyrone Love, who was gunned down on Cherry Street this week. So we pray for that family as they are in sorrow, and for the whole community that was touched by him, YMCA, and just lift up those who would perpetuate this kind of violence.
Yes. I shared with Kelly that Steve and I knew Tyrone as well, because he worked at the Y in our neighborhood, and this is, as all crimes like this should shake the community, but this one seems to have gone to the very, very core. So may God bring something good out of this horrible situation, an end to this violence. I invite Pastor Paul to come up to lead our community prayer.
Wherever you live in the Seattle area, I think you would all resonate with the experience of driving over the I-90 or the 520. I've said this before, but I think we've all had that experience when we are driving and on one side of the bridge, the water is completely calm. And on the other side of the bridge, the water is completely turbulent. Waves are coming up. One may even catch our windshield and come totally as a surprise to us. And I can't help but think that that is what it means to be in community. That's what it means to live life together, that for some of us, life feels calm, life feels peaceful, life feels smooth. And for others, life feels turbulent. Maybe something's caught you by surprise and come out of nowhere. But there is a way, and that way is that Jesus promises in the midst of whatever our reality is, that he is with us, and that he promises to be with us and know us completely. So let us come before God as a community this morning in humility and in faith and prayer. God, you are a God who is glorious, a God who extends joy. You are a God who keeps things right and in order, even when we do not. You are a God who extends mercy, who reconciles and seeks to empower us to be your instruments of reconciliation. You are a God who promises. And we gather on this Sunday, the Sunday before we begin our Lenten journey, to pause from the busyness of our lives. We gather to worship you in this place. And we ask that as we venture into this Lenten season, that you would open our eyes to the things that you want to change in us and about us and in the world around us. Create in us clean hearts, O God, and restore to us the joy of being your beloved. God, you've heard the echoings of the hearts of your people this morning that we do have many reasons to give thanks, and we thank you for the gifts that we enjoy this morning, the gift of different individuals, unique people coming from different experiences of life, gathering to worship you in this place. And we give thanks for efforts and individuals and communities who seek to move forward in your reconciling and transforming love and grace. We thank you for this faith family and how this faith family extends from this building into this city, into this nation, into this world. And that we have a safe space to gather so that we may be encouraged and equipped to be your people in our everyday, ordinary lives. God, you know the prayers of your people. You've heard those things that we have given voice to this morning. Meet us. Remind us that you know us, that you know these situations, that you are present, that you are active, that you are moving. And we ask that you would help all of creation, of which we are a part, to put aside all things that would separate us from you, all things that would separate us from one another. Silence evil words, forbid evil deeds, break evil habits, banish evil thoughts, take away the desires and the ambitions that steer us away from you, and make the lives of your people, our lives, to shine like lights in this world. Be with us in our silence and in our speech, in our company and in our solitude, in the newness of every morning and as we go to bed every evening. We offer you our hearts and our prayers, those spoken this morning and those in our hearts, in the name of Jesus. And in this season of Passion, we pray again for your leading to make us a passionate people. Awaken us to your presence and your workings in and around us. And when we fall asleep or grow lazy to your ways and your working, wake us again. Give our hearts a new song, as the scripture says this morning that we will hear. Give our hearts a new song as Dale brings your word to us and before us. May your Holy Spirit speak to all of us as Dale preaches. And keep drawing us more and more into your presence as we pray together the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray to you by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I'd like to invite all children to come forward, and anyone who is young at heart and feels inclined to come forward this morning for a children's time with Miss Eliana.
Here, let's see if anybody in the family room. Okay, I have a question for you guys. Do you know what season it is? What season is it? Summer? Winter, that's right. We're in winter. And just like our calendar has seasons, the church has seasons too. Come on forward. Oh, it's good to see people don't need to be shy. And so we have seasons in the church here. So, for example, we had Advent. And it was very exciting because after Advent came Christmas. And then after Christmas, we went through Epiphany. And now we're getting ready for another season that starts on Wednesday. And that season is Lent. Now, Lent is one of the one season where when I was a kid, it always gave me a tummy ache. It kind of made me anxious because it was a very serious time. The kind of school in the church that I went to, Lent was such a serious time because you had to be serious. Even all the statues, they would put cloths over them, black cloths. And we didn't get to sing during the entire time of Lent until Easter came. But it made me think, that's just a tradition that we started doing. Because a long time ago, during the season of Lent, that's when people would take time to say they were sorry for all the things they'd done wrong. You know what they used to do in the olden days? People would pour ashes on their head and walk around covered in ashes. So people would be walking around their town with ashes on their head, and other people could point at them and say, oh, look, that person, oh, they must have made a mistake, and they've said sorry, but they're repenting. Well, we still do something similar like that to remind us. And on Wednesday, when we have an Ash Wednesday service, you can come and get some ashes put right here on your forehead in the sign of a cross. And that'll remind you that you're not perfect. We all make mistakes. You guys make mistakes sometimes? Yeah, I do too, all the time. And when we make mistakes, all that God is asking is, stop. Take some time to think about it. And then take some time to say you're sorry. And this is a wonderful way to get ready for Easter, which is the really good news of hearing that God is with us and God loves us even during that entire time of us saying, I'm sorry for my mistakes. So it's not really a sad time. It's not really a time to get a tummy ache like I used to. It's a time to really start thinking about what am I doing and what should I do differently so that I can feel better when I come before God. So I think Lent is actually a good time, and I hope I get to see you guys on Wednesday. So let's pray. Thank you, God, for an opportunity to come together, to acknowledge and admit that we've made mistakes, and to know that you love us even in the midst of those mistakes, and that you wait with us with open arms. And all of God's children say, amen. Okay, how about 4-year-olds through second grade? She can go to the worship center. And the rest of you can get some worship activities.
Let us pray in preparation for the reading and preaching of God's word. God of wisdom and compassion, make your word come alive to us today through scripture and through Pastor Dale's preaching. We open our hearts to receive your truth. Amen. Our Psalter reading is Psalm 98, verses 1 through 4, and then 7 through 9. Listen for the good news of God's word to you. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have gotten him victory. The Lord has made known his victory. He has revealed his vindication in the sight of the nations. He has remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the victory of our God. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth into joyous song and sing praises. Let the sea roar and all that fills it, the world and those who live in it. Let the floods clap their hands. Let the hills sing together for joy at the presence of the Lord, for he is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with equity. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
We are in our sermon series on the Apostles' Creed. We are in the section of the Creed that is about Jesus Christ. And today we are at the very end of that section of the Creed about Jesus. The words for today are, and he will come, Jesus will come, to judge the living and the dead. Princeton Seminary professor Dan Migliori says that this part of the creed is the least loved part of the Apostles' Creed. We don't like it. We don't like to hear he will come to judge. We are not very comfortable with the experience of judgment. Each one of us has been being judged by other people since the time we were in elementary school, and we don't like it. We don't like the thought that God will judge us. It makes us nervous. Where will we be in God's list? Will we be high or will we be low? Where are we in that parable that Georgia read to you earlier in the service? You remember separating the sheep and the goats. Will we be among the sheep, the good ones, or among the goats? I think we all sympathize with the goats when we hear that parable. But the reality is, for all of us, that we are a little bit the sheep and a little bit the goat. We are a mixture of sheep and goats. So then what does that do with the parable of judgment? Somehow it doesn't work so well anymore, and it leaves us nervous. I just want to say about that parable that I don't think it works very well as a parable of judgment, because we are the mix of the two, and Jesus knows that. And besides that, the parable could not be saying to us that if you just live well, if you are compassionate enough, if you do all the right things, if you're good enough, if you earn your way by your lifestyle, somehow you will get a good judgment from God. That is not what the scripture teaches us about the way to salvation. I think what this parable is saying very dramatically is that Jesus wants his disciples to be people of compassion. That if we are followers of Jesus, we are to be people who care consistently and with an endurance for the least and those who are the most in need. How more powerfully could Jesus say it than, if you did it to one of the least of these, you did it to me. I want you to do these things, to have this compassion if you are my disciples. I think that's the point of that parable. But as a parable of judgment, doesn't work too well for us, because we're such a mixture inside of the sheep and the goats, the compassionate ones and the ones who can walk right by a need and never blink an eye and never raise a finger. So we don't like the idea of even God judging us. And this part of the creed today is the least loved part of it for us. Well, I kind of think that we are wrong about this part of the creed. I think that if we understand what it's trying to tell us, it won't be a cause for anxiety or fear, but rather for a deep and abiding joy, for a growing hope, not only for us, but for the whole world. I think that we're wrong about this part of the creed. I know that either we are wrong or Psalm 98 is wrong. They can't both be right. Remember what Psalm 98 says that Georgia just read? Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. The Lord has done marvelous things. God's right hand and God's holy arm has gotten God the victory. Three times in the first three verses, it mentions God's victory. And the interesting thing about that word in the Hebrew language is that the word for God's victory is the very same word as the word for our salvation. It is as though the word itself tells us God's victory is about our salvation. When we are made whole, then God has the victory. And so rejoice at the marvelous things that God has done. God's victory, our salvation, three times in the first three verses. God has remembered steadfast love and faithfulness, and all the ends of the earth will see the victory, the salvation of our God. The next section of the psalm tells us to get out our musical instruments, to warm up our voices, and to sing. Sing praise to God for all this goodness, for the marvelous things that God has done for us. And then even that is not enough. Not only the human beings, not only all the people of the world are to sing with joy, but all creation is brought in. Let the seas roar. Let the world and those who live in the seas, let them shout for joy. Let the floods clap their hands. Let the hills sing for joy in the presence of the Lord. And what is all this excitement about? Well, that's the stunner. That's the surprise. It says, for he is coming to judge the earth. This celebration, this joy in this psalm is that God is coming to judge the earth, and God will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with equity. It's a celebration of God coming to judge. Now, the earliest Christians read this psalm, and they said, this is about Jesus. This is a description of the victory that God has won over sin and death in Jesus Christ. That's why the victory of God is also the salvation of the people. And so they rejoiced. And what I'm saying to you is either we're wrong to make this the least loved part of the creed, or the psalm is wrong. I think the psalm is right. This morning, I want to try to convince you. I want to tell you four particular reasons why we should rejoice at the coming of God's judgment in the world. And the four reasons are the four parts of this section of the creed. And the first part, interestingly enough, is not even in the ecumenical version of the creed. It's been dropped. Do you remember what the traditional version of the Apostles' Creed says right before he will come to judge? Two words. From thence he will come. From there he will come. Well, where is there? Where is it that Jesus is coming from to judge? If you just back up a few more words, we saw it last week. He sat down at the right hand of the Father. He comes from the Father. He comes from the one that Jesus called Abba. Jesus comes from the one that Jesus described God's love like a mother for her child, a love that would never end, a steadfast love and faithfulness that would not quit. In the Bible, Jesus always comes from the Father, always comes from Abba, from this one that the Gospel of John says, God so loved the world that God sent Jesus not to condemn the world, remember, but that the world might be saved through him. Jesus always comes from not sheer power or sheer force, but from sheer love. From there he will come. From the one that the New Testament writers finally gave up trying to describe the depth of God's love, and just declared, God is love. So when Jesus comes to judge the world, he comes from there. He comes from the source of all love. And that should encourage us. That should give us hope. That should make us rejoice. That's the first reason. The second one is who it is that comes. He will come. Jesus will come. It makes all the difference who will be our judge. This one who knows you better than you know yourself, who loves you more than you can ever imagine being loved. This one whom the Apostle Paul said, he gave his life for me. That's the one who is coming to judge. You know, friends, there are not two versions of Jesus in the Bible. There's not the version of Jesus who takes the little children in his arms and blesses them and is willing to suffer and die and rise for our salvation. There's not that version of Jesus on the one hand, and then the other version of Jesus who comes in anger and wrath to condemn and destroy. There are not two versions of Jesus. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, the scripture says. And he does not come to condemn. Martin Luther said, it is the same Christ who is our Savior who will also be our judge. And so we do not fear. The one who suffered for us sits next to the Father as my advocate and my guardian. It is this Jesus who loves you and always has, whose victory over sin and death is our salvation. It is Jesus who is coming, and that makes all the difference. And he will come. God has not given up on this earth. God has not looked at the earth with all its trouble, looked at us with all our mixture of sheep and goats, with all the hardness and the sinfulness in the world. God has not looked at humanity and turned away in disgust. God has not done that. God has not just shrugged and said, oh, well, let them do their thing. When they die, they'll come to me and then I'll deal with them. God has not done that. He will come. Jesus will come. The earth is not abandoned. I know that my Redeemer lives and that he will stand again upon the earth. And the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdom of our God and of his Christ. And because that is so, we do not give up. We do not give up the struggle within us to be less the goat and more the compassionate one. We do not give up the struggle for justice in a world where injustice seems to grow like weeds in the field. We do not get discouraged in our living in compassion, even though the need of the world seems to overwhelm all compassion. We do not give up trying to be people of reconciliation and peace. In a world that seems obsessed with power and conflict and war, we do not give up. We do not lay down the cause and walk away. Why not? Because he will come. That is the hope for the earth, for the whole world. So, I said, from there, from that source of sheer love, Jesus, the one who knows you and deeply loves you, will come. And that's why we don't give up. God is not turned away from the earth. He will come to judge. Now, as it makes a huge difference who it is that will judge, it also makes a huge difference what is the purpose of judgment. Is it to condemn and destroy? John said that God sent Jesus into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. The purpose of the judgment is to purify. The purpose of the judgment is to prepare us for the fulfillment of eternal life lived in the presence of God. Imagine living in the presence of the one Jesus called Abba, in the presence of Jesus himself, in the presence of the Holy Spirit of God. The judgment is to prepare us for that. The coming judgment of Christ, one theologian wrote, will be the universal and definitive revelation of Jesus' true identity and of our true identity. We will see him as our loving Savior. We will see ourselves as the mixture of sheep and goat, the sinner in need of the grace of God, but knowing the great love of God for us. There is much about us that we will need to leave behind in order to enter into salvation. There is much about this world, this hard, cruel world, in some ways, that God will say no to. But the purpose of the judgment will always be to purify, to prepare us for the fulfillment. That's what salvation means, to be made whole. I think of the coming of Jesus and the judgment of Jesus as at last we see with an unobstructed view the splendor of the goodness and the love of God in our very midst. And in that dazzling light of Jesus, we finally understand who he is and who we are. And we will feel the powerful pull of that invitation of God to enter into life. He will come to judge the living and the dead. It just means everyone. Everyone who has ever lived will enter into this. Everyone will see that splendor. Everyone will have that unobstructed view at last. Everyone will feel the pull of that invitation into God's love. Does that mean that everyone will be saved? I don't think we can know that. The theologian Karl Barth said that we have no right to arrogate for ourselves. That means to arrogantly take for ourselves that which can only be given and received as a gift of God's grace. We have no right to claim that for ourselves or even for all humanity. We don't know. God knows. But in the same way, Barth said, we also have no right to try to limit the free and sovereign grace of God. God will do what God will do. And God is love, and God is good. It is God who judges, and not we. And so, Karl Barth says, we have every reason to hope and to pray for the salvation of all people. From there, from that source of love, he, Jesus, will come. And therefore, we do not give up these works of compassion in the world. He will come to judge. And the purpose of that judgment is always to purify, to prepare us for salvation. The victory of our God is the salvation of the people. I think the psalm is right. We have every reason to hope. We have every reason to rejoice that Jesus will come from there to judge the living and the dead. It will be good news for all of creation. Let us pray. You know us, O God. You know that we don't like the idea of judgment. Speak to us again by your Holy Spirit, the truth of your great love for us and for all people, that your victory is always the salvation of the people. Help us to trust in you and to trust your love and to rejoice. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Friends, through the goodness of God, we have gifts to share with others. So let us with joy offer our gifts to God this morning. Our ushers will come forward to receive the offering.
He never fails me, yeah.
Let us pray. Oh, Jesus, you have never failed us, and we thank you for that. Our hearts are so filled with gratitude for all the ways you've blessed us in this life. Accept our lives, oh God, as well as our gifts this morning, and let the spirit in which we give them and live them be fueled by your spirit. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends, our closing hymn is number 379, My Hope is Built on Nothing Less.
Thank you.
I would invite you to stay for the fellowship hour in the courtyard. Today we have a special reason to stay. Mary Lou Kirshner, who has for decades served the church as an almost full-time volunteer in ministry here, is retiring at the end of this month. Frankly, we do not know what we're going to do without her, but today we're going to celebrate her ministry with us, and we have a special cake in the courtyard to honor her. So please do stay and come to the courtyard and honor Mary Lou Kirshner with us. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. And you are loved perfectly. So go from this place in peace, to live without fear, to love and serve our God. And the blessings of God go with you and stay with you as you live as God's compassionate people in this world. Amen.